Radio friends, we are back to conclude what we started last week, dwelling in the presence of God, the only way to live. Father, we want to say thanks again. We have come now to reason with you in your word. And we have come expecting that you will speak to our hearts. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our text is taken from Exodus 33. Where God said to Israel that they were stiff-necked people. The word stiff-neck means stubborn. And as a result, he was going to substitute his presence with the presence of his angel. And in verse 4 of Exodus 33, and when the people heard this bad news, to them it was bad news, they mourned. And no one put on his ornaments. They mourned. It pained them. And Moses went into prayer, interceding on behalf of his people. And in verse 14, Exodus 33, and he, God, said to Moses, verse 14, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he said to God, Moses said to God in verse 15, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? It's your presence that will make the difference. So we shall be separate, different, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. So we looked at the promise of his presence, the preparation for his presence. That's where we stopped. And then we'll conclude with the practice of his presence. Under the promise of his presence, we said that God promised his presence to Israel in the pillar of cloud and of fire, and he went with them. His presence went with them. It was his presence that went with them that made the difference. And he promised also his presence to the Israel of God, believers or Christians. And we saw it in Matthew 28, verse 20, where the Lord, before he went back to heaven, said, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. In preparation or in preparing for the presence of God, we said, number one, you have to realize that God is ever present with you. Don't be like Jacob in Genesis 28 verse 16, who said, the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. Do you know, radio friend, that the Lord is present where you are with you, and he is there all the time? And then secondly, that you desire his presence above all else. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my heart for you, O God. My heart longs for you. Whom do I have in heaven? And upon earth I desire nothing besides you. Psalm 73 verse 25. Then we said, thirdly, that you will thirst after his holiness. Living a holy life, let me repeat, is an eloquent testimony that you are well aware of the presence of God. Because those who live in the consciousness of the presence of God cannot endure to be doing things they know God frowns at when God is looking at them. Because that's what the presence, the consciousness of God's presence does for you. You are conscious of the fact that God's eyes are upon you all the time. When we live unholy lives, we are saying that God is ever absent. God warned Israel to exclude all uncleanness from their camp because of his holy presence. You find that in Numbers chapter 5, 1 to 3. We don't have time to read it. Numbers 5, 1 to 3. He even included personal hygiene in his demand for holy conduct at the camp. You find that in Deuteronomy chapter 23, especially from verses 12 to 14. Thus, we see then that hatred for sin is a primary preparation for the presence of God. It was because of Israel's sin of idolatry and stubbornness that God threatened to withdraw his presence from them in Exodus 33. Exodus 33 verse 3, we read, God says, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm not going to change that. I had promised it to Abraham and his descendants. That still stands. For I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way. Why? Because the holiness of God cannot mix with unholiness. For you are a stiff-necked people. Stubborn people. Radio friend, are you stubborn? Are you stiff-necked? The presence of God cannot mix with sin. You cannot desire to dwell in the presence of God and dwell in sin at the same time. In Habakkuk 1 verse 13, Habakkuk 1 verse 13, the scripture says, you, that's God, are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. The presence of God. It is a promise that God makes to those who are his. Have you come into the family of God yet, radio friend? Are you his? He made the promise to Israel. He made the promise to the church. And if you have received Jesus as your personal Savior, then you are a member of the Church of Jesus Christ. That is what makes you a member of the church. Not having your name written in the register of a denomination. And then you have to take note of the preparation for his presence. Let's conclude with the practice of the presence of God. When we speak of dwelling in God's presence, we mean dwelling or living in the consciousness of his presence. We mean dwelling in the state of mind that is conscious of the fact that God is here now. And dwelling in the consciousness of his presence is practicing the presence of God. It is simple, yet hard to begin. But once you begin and you start practicing living in the consciousness of the presence of God, you know the devil does not feel at home in the presence of God. You know where the presence of God is. The devil tries to maintain his distance. We'll look at some of the blessings or the benefits of dwelling in the presence of God. Practicing the presence of God, you must have read the book. If you have not, there's a little book, The Practice of the Presence of God, by Brother Lawrence, a Roman Catholic monk that lived in the 17th century. This man dwelt in the consciousness of the presence of God in such a way that he had, as it were, heaven on earth. Brother Lawrence said that the manner of going to God consists, and I quote him, in one hearty renunciation of everything that does not lead to God. You see, for you to dwell or practice the presence of God, you will eliminate things that you know cannot lead you to God. But practicing the presence of God is simple, as I said, but hard in a sense. And the hardness of it is the fact that the devil knows what it means and he will resist you. But you can come to the point where, as it were, you have reached the what we call escape velocity in physics, where the force of gravity is no longer influencing you. The force of gravity in this case being the devil pressing you down and preventing you from entering into the presence of God. It involves conversing with him in your heart as long as you are awake. Conversing with God, bringing to his attention praise, thanksgiving, bringing to his attention the difficulties in your life, the great difficulties, as well as the ones you consider small. You are conversing with him all the time. And this is not a new teaching. This is what 1 Thessalonians 5:17 implies, I suppose, when he says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Christians don't take this verse seriously. We talk so much about prayer in some circles, and we have lost the meaning of prayer and the essence of prayer. We have lost what prayer means. It's not calling people together for prayer, but spending time as an individual conversing with God all the time. We conclude then that dwelling in God's presence is His will for all His children, since He said, pray without ceasing. No one can love like God loves and not want His children to be in His presence all the time. In conclusion then, the blessings, the benefits of dwelling in the presence of God. Number one, dwelling in the presence of God makes God more real than even human beings. In Psalm 16 verse 8, prophecy about the Savior says, I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. God becomes very real to you. Number two, in His presence there is fullness of joy and endless pleasures. You find that also in Psalm 16 verse 11. The world and many Christians in our day look for joy and pleasure in the wrong things and in the wrong places, but they cannot find satisfaction. The more they seek, the less they find, and the more they seek. In the presence of God, there is peace. 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 And finally, in His presence, fear and doubt are banished. Fear and doubt. Let us pray. Radio friend, the first to having and dwelling in the presence of God is to invite Jesus Christ into your life. And then you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in you as the starting point. And God, the Spirit. Why don't you do that now if you have not done it? Father, as many as are calling upon you now who want to yield their lives to you, you will receive them according to your promise. Give them assurance of salvation. Holy Spirit, awaken them in the inner man. And those of us who have given our lives to you, but we live as though you were ever absent, may you help us to dwell in the consciousness of your presence from now on. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.